from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, another week here for the Buffalo Bills back on the practice field. Today, about 12:30 is when practice will start. We'll hear from offensive coordinator Joe Brady at noon today down here at One Bills Drive. Sal Capaccio with you inside the radio booth at Highmark Stadium. I'll head over to the media room a little bit later. We'll get you Joe Brady. That'll be at our website, WGR550.com. And practice, of course, at 12:30 p.m. And, of course, an update more kind of on injuries, who's out there, who's not. We have a general feel for it anyway, based on everything Sean McDermott told us yesterday. And the list is lengthy, of course. Welcome to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Lengthy injury report. I mean, I'm sure you've heard, you've seen. If not, I mean, we can go through it now. I'll do it. Was on this morning with the guys, going through everything. And it's just, it's tough. I want to get into a lot of the talk surrounding the injuries here in a minute, but let me just go through what's going on with the Bills as of yesterday from Sean McDermott. Quarterback Mitch Trubisky, wide receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and tight end Quinton Morris are all out multiple weeks. That's how he determined it, how he termed it, multiple weeks. Wide receiver Curtis Samuel, safety Damar Hamlin, and linebacker Bealen Specter are all week to week. What is the difference between out multiple weeks and week to week? Basically, putting the multiple weeks timeline on it means you know you're not getting him back for at least a couple weeks. The week to week timeline means let's evaluate after this week. We'll see where we are next week. And then it could even become a day by day situation after that. Those are some names, though, right? These are players that are expected to play roles on this team. All six of them, some more than others. Then you have safety Mike Edwards, safety Cole Bishop, linebacker Nicholas Morrow, who are all going to at least start trending up, it appears, this week, which is good news. They're going to do some walkthrough stuff, some individual position work today or this week. Casey Tuhill, defensive end, targeting later this week. At some point, he'd be back. We'll see if he's out there today. That was as of yesterday. Still out, offensive lineman Travis Clayton. And then limited this week after injuries in the game Saturday night, defensive end Javon Solomon, defensive tackle Austin Johnson. Of course, all of this while also knowing that Matt Milano is out long-term. We know that. Didn't mention him because that is something that just we know that's going to be for quite a while, if not the whole season. The team did address the quarterback situation for this week today, just a little while ago, officially signing Anthony Brown, former Oregon quarterback. He had a couple stops, but most recently of Oregon in college, played with the Ravens a little bit as well. They have released wide receiver Lawrence Keys III, or at least waived injured him, I should say. So we'll go on. He'll go through waivers. If he clears waivers, he'll revert back to the Bills. Then they can do an injury settlement or something like that. But that's basically how that will work. So you're dealing with a lot here. You're dealing with a lot. Particularly, to me, the most concerning issue is not safety, where I know that it's concerning because they've been without Bishop, without Edwards, now they're without Hamlin. But at least you got a couple guys trending up. And you do have a few weeks left before the first game. I mean, let's count it. The first game is September 8th. Where are we right now? We are August 20th. So 7, 14, 15, 16, 17, 19 days. The Bills play a football game, a real game in 19 days. I mean, you can get some of these guys back in 19 days. I think that, you know, I'm not unbelievably sounding alarms here for some stuff, but it is concerning, of course. And they have to, the issue is you have to practice. You have to get ready, you have to prep. They're starting their prep, I'm sure, for the Arizona Cardinals at some point soon. These guys getting reps. Bishop and Edwards not being out there. What does that look like as far as how many reps they've had? But you have a little less than 3 weeks here before the first game. I'm guessing we're going to go into week one. That first injury report is going to have a bunch of these names on it. Questionable. That's the most likely designation for a lot of them. But it's a lot. And it's a lot to deal with and sort through for the final preseason game. So you have two different issues here. You have the short term, 1 week, preseason. What's going to happen? How do you play a game on Saturday? Who do you have? Then you have the long term. What is the situation week one? Can you assess that now and into the season? Let's also remember here something very important. The Bills have two games in 5 days to start the regular season. They play Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals, September 8th, and then turn right around Thursday night, September 12th, against the Miami Dolphins. Travel day on Wednesday that week. I mean, yeah, 2 days of practice, bam, back at it. Travel, game the next day. If you have a guy who's even borderline for that first game on Sunday the 8th, you may even say, we're not going to use him because we need him for our first division game, which is 5 days later. Because if he comes back and plays in the 8th and, you know, gets banged up a little bit, that might not even be effective on that game, the second game, the 12th. These are all things that have to be considered. But it is 19 days away from that first game. So there's kind of a lot to get through this, right? A lot to go through, and how they get through this week really matters. It's really interesting to me, too, that the Bills are actually benefiting now, at least, this helps, from a rule change that they were one of the teams to propose a couple years ago. A couple years ago, the Bills were one of the teams in the NFL that proposed, along with several others, to eliminate the multiple cutdown dates and just go to one cutdown date. Go from 90 to 53. 91 in this case for the Bills, they do have an exemption because of Travis Clayton being a Pathways program player, International Pathways. So it's fine, but let's just say 90 here so we all are clear. The Bills and several other teams said, okay, let's go to the rules committee, let's go to the owners' meetings, let's do these proposals, competition committee, whatever, and put forward a proposal, a whole bunch of teams that said no more. Remember, you used to go from 90 to 75? And then you went from 75 to 60-something, maybe even 90 to 80, and then 80 to 75, whatever it was. 90 to 75, 75 to something else, and then 53. I think that's what it was. There were like three cut-down dates at one point, then there were two. Now that's it. Now there's just one. But the Bills are actually thankfully benefiting from that. Can you imagine if they only had 75 players on their roster right now for this week's game instead of 90? That would be 15 players you couldn't even use in this game. And how do you even play? What do you do for roster moves? So thankfully, they have the ability to do that. But who are the players who are even playing in this game? It's a lot of what you saw Saturday, I'm sure, against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You'll probably see Joe Andreessen out there a lot again. And good for Joe. He'll get another opportunity here. You'll see the back end of the secondary. Kenai Lovely to Corey Couch, Daquan Hardy. I mean, Daquan, is he back end now? I guess he's fighting for a job. Kendall Williamson, D. Delaney. These are guys who are going to play. Offensive line is going to be, Keaton Bills, Gunnar Britton. These guys were out there. Tylon Grable. This might be the start. The guys I just rattled might be the starters and the finishers on Saturday, incredibly. Because that's the position and situation they're in right now. And even Sean McDermott said yesterday, he was planning on using the starters this week. But he can't do that. He can't risk it. And I understand it. My biggest concern right now is not safety. I'll get to what it is in a second. Want to hear from you. 803-0550 is the telephone number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let me set up the day for you. Coming up at 10:30, my buddy John Scott from WGRZ TV Channel 2 is going to join me. We'll get his thoughts and perspective on the injuries, the situation with the Bills heading into this week. Channel 2 sports director. Also, I didn't tell John this. He might have realized it. Part of the reason I wanted to bring him on, it's Guardians-Yankees series time. He's a big Guardians fan. I'm a big Yankees fan. Let's go. Let's get after it. Big time series for both clubs coming up here. So we'll talk with John about that as well. At 11 a.m., we're going to reverse roles here. So every day, pretty much, I go on in the morning with Jeremy and Joe. Then I go on in the afternoon with Shope and the Bulldog because we kind of wrap up what's going on with the Bills. And, in the middle, I'm doing the talk show thing. Guess what today is? Today is Mike Shope's turn to join me because we are going to talk fantasy football. As you know, Mike loves to talk about fantasy football. Probably too much for a lot of you. I get it. And he even knows that. And that's okay. But you know what? We're going to do it today with Mike because it's fantasy football season. And a lot of you have drafts coming up. And honestly, Mike is super knowledgeable. He does the Deep End podcast. Him and Adam Krautwurst, he's really involved with a lot of the fantasy stuff. But if you're a fantasy football player, you have a draft coming up this week, this weekend, whatever it is, Mike Shope is going to join me at 11 a.m. to talk about it and to help you out. And I'll ask him some questions and we'll go from there. So we'll do that today here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. One thing that's really out there being talked about, you want to call it I don't love the word narrative. I think it gets a little bit overused and not used correctly, but if you want to say it's that, or a talking point, a debate, a question, is how much the training staff specifically has to do with, injuries and what's happening here with the Bills. How many injuries there truly are. I said a couple weeks ago on the radio, someone called up and said, boy, they have way more injuries than normal. I'm like, do they really? I'm not really sure. I mean, you could tell me that. And then that person sent me, and I apologize, I haven't responded to the email, sent me a long email on the data. And that's great. You want to do the data. I mean, I don't know. I think every year we think this. I think every year, if I think back to every year, it feels like we do the same thing every year. Now, it does feel like, to me, even now, there's more than normal that you're dealing with, especially to the roster of the guys that are normal players and regulars. But a few things here, okay? Number one, every team, the Bills every year have injuries in training camp. And you could probably go back for the last 15, 20 years, 10 years, whatever. And there's going to be points throughout training camp where they were dealing with five, six guys out at a time. One guy out here, and then all of a sudden five guys out. And it goes up and down. It ebbs and flows like that for the numbers. Number two, every team deals with this in some capacity. Stop only focusing on your team and thinking this is unique to the Buffalo Bills. It is not. It is a tough game to play. There are injuries all the time. It's unfortunate that this is the situation they're in. There's no doubt about it. But if you're starting to question, like, what the training staff's role is and why this is happening, I mean, are you going to blame the training staff when Marquez Valdez-Scantling turns and gets hit and the neck gets hurt? Is it on the training staff when Cole Bishop goes up and comes down for a ball and lands on his shoulder? Folks, that's not training staff. That's football. That's what that is. I mean, a training staff's job is to prepare your body to withstand, especially soft tissue, things like that, get recovery. But when you're colliding with people and you're hitting people and you're hitting the ground, injuries are going to happen. That's a part of football. It's always been a part of football. That has nothing to do with who the training staff is and what they're doing or not doing. Now, I do remember a couple years ago, actually, this was very interesting. At the end of two seasons ago, Sean McDermott made a point about how a bunch of the defensive linemen, there were too many calf injuries through the season. And he said, that's something we have to look at. That's a training staff's thing. Now, that doesn't mean they do anything wrong, but they definitely have to evaluate how they're doing it, maybe. But that could be a training staff situation. It is. Like, what are we doing there? Why did we have too many calf injuries to that particular position group? That's how dialed in they are on these things. But let's also remember, in 2021 through 2022, I'm sorry, 2020 through 2022, if I think right in that area, the Bills had some of the best, like, injury numbers in the league when it comes to guys being available. So, and they largely have the exact same training staff. Injuries happen in football. I mean, who else? What do we have here? Give me one. Quentin Morris, shoulder. I mean, he hurt his shoulder in a game. Right? Who else we got here? Mitch Trubisky. I don't know what happened to Mitch Trubisky's knee. I don't even remember the play. Knee injuries happen. Could you say, okay, well, Damar Hamlin, hamstring. Maybe he's not doing something right. Maybe the training staff. Okay, I could listen to that argument, but I think that every team has someone at some point, and the Bills even do, that deals with something like that. Unless it's like pervasive for soft tissue injuries, you're going to have those things happen when you have 90 people on a roster or 53. So I just think it's just what people do, but it's not accurate. Training staff, injuries, must be something wrong. No, it's football. That's what it is. And it's unfortunate. And a lot of it's just luck of the draw, right? Unfortunately, luck of the ball, luck of a person falling on you the wrong way. I remember a few years ago when Matt Milano broke his leg his rookie year. Remember when Matt Milano broke his leg his rookie year? Missed like the last four games. And then the following year, I think he had a hamstring the following year, and people pointed to the broken leg as, oh my God, he's injury prone. I'm like, well, what are you supposed to do when a guy falls on top of your leg? I mean, it's just, that's what happens in football. That's what happened last year too, by the way, when he broke his leg, unfortunately, in London. He kind of got twisted up in a pile. That's not training staff. That's football. So I don't subscribe to any of that. Now, if you want to point to certain soft tissue injuries or guys not coming back on time that they should, and if you have those data points, like, certainly discussions there. And I'm not absolving anyone or the whole, you know, product of how it has to work. But just looking at the list and saying, okay, I mean, Curtis Samuel, turf toe, is that a training thing? Not a training staff thing. I don't think so. So that's where I go with that. I've just seen that around lately, and I know that people are grasping. They want to know an answer. They want to have an answer. They want everybody healthy. Folks, go look at other teams around the league, too. Teams have injuries. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings lost their first-round QB because of a torn meniscus. You know, I mean, injuries are happening around the league, unfortunately, and that's what happens this time of year. It sucks, and you deal with them. It's a war of attrition, unfortunately. Last year, at the end of the year, the Bills were down a bunch of linebackers. You know, I mean, how did Terrell Bernard get hurt last year in that Steelers game? He made a tackle and twisted and his ankle twisted underneath him. We all thought, they brought an air cast out, if I remember right. Like, we thought it was broken. It wasn't. So, I just don't think that you can really gain anything from that. And even if, you have a data point and data that says, like the person sent me, it says, well, here's more injuries now than last year. I don't know what to do with that. I just don't know what to do with it. I mean, it's just, again, it's football, and you get less sometimes, you get more sometimes. Anyway, what do you think about it? I'll get to my biggest concern here in a second, but let's get to Chuck first up in Amherst. Hi, Chuck. You're on the Extra Point Show.
Yeah. Excuse me. I'm just eating breakfast.
What are you having?
When it comes to just some toast.
All right.
When it comes to Milano, I mean, a couple of years ago, he broke his leg. Then he broke his leg again. Now he's got the torn bicep. But anyways, I don't think he's played a full season in 3 or 4 years. So I don't know what you expect out of this guy. He's an under.
What do you mean what I expect out of him? What do you expect out of him? You're saying, what are you saying?
He's an undersized linebacker. Just like, he is. There's no doubt about it. You look at Bernard.
Yes, he is.
How long do you think Bernard is going to last in the middle of a professional football team at linebacker? He's undersized. It's only a matter of time before he gets hit, too. I mean, you're dreaming if you think this team is built to last. They're not tough enough. They're not a physical team. They're basically a scheme team. And, you know, injuries are going to happen to undersized players. And they have too many of those. They draft small. I don't know why they do. But, you know, that's just inevitable that they're not going to. You look at Knox. He's an undersized tight end.
He's not.
240, 250. Yes, he is. If you're going to last in this league, you got to be 260, 270 at tight end. Get real. I mean, seriously. Who are the guys that last? Kelce, Gronkowski. They're 260, 270. They're big guys. They're getting beat up by 320-pound linemen. Okay? You know, these linebackers going against these linemen, it's only a matter of time before they get injured. I played a lot of hockey.
Do you know the size of Travis Kelce?
Yeah, he's 260.
No, he's 6'5", 250. Do you know what Dawson Knox is?
Whatever. He's a big
No. I'm asking, do you know what Dawson Knox is?
Yeah, he's only 250.
He's the same size as Travis Kelce.
Yeah, no, he's not. He's not a big, tough guy. Get serious.
Okay, I'm just telling you what each guy is listed at. If you want to debate that, that's fine. You can go to each PR team and tell them they're wrong.
Look, I played a contact sport, okay? There are tough guys, and then there are just big guys. He's not a tough guy. That's why he's always getting injured, okay? There are some guys that can just beat the hell out of you no matter how big they are. The Bills are not a tough football team. They're not physical. That's why they don't win the big game, number one. They're not going to win the big game with a team that's they're not a tough football team, okay? I mean, I don't know what you see out there, but you guys are dreaming. You're whistling by the graveyard when you think that this team is built to be a winner. They're not. The time window for them has passed, okay? They don't have Poyer and what's his name? I can't think of the other one. The two safeties. They're also small at safety. That's another problem. Look at the big teams that won Super Bowls. They got 220-pound strong safeties. Polamalu, guys like that. That's what you need. They're not big enough at safety either. That's why tight ends kill us. Big receivers kill us. Our corners are small. Okay? And by the way, did you see Worthy with Kansas City? Now you see what you could have had.
Wait a minute. Whoa. You mean the smallest? Wait. You can't have it both ways, Chuck.
Yeah,
he's literally the smallest dude in the league, I think. I mean.
Yeah, well, it's true. He might not last, but he's got incredible speed.
Oh, okay. But when it comes to him, he's okay to be small, but everybody else. Hey, Chuck, thanks for the call from 1995. I really appreciate it. All right. Listen, I mean, not tough enough. I don't know what to do with all this. Matt Milano is a bit undersized, and I would say that, like, sometimes when you are undersized and play physical, you're going to have maybe more bumps and bruises. There's no doubt about that. That's the one thing I'll agree with you, Chuck, that you say. They're a bit undersized in a couple places. Terrell Bernard, he is a little bit of an undersized middle linebacker. But in today's game, Like, you have to be able to do different things than you had to back in 1985, which is sounds like what you're calling from. Travis Kelce, I have it right here, is listed at, maybe this is wrong, 6'5", 250. Dawson Knox, 6'4", 254. They're the same size. I mean, they're not big enough, and then that they're not tough enough, and then they're not built to win, be the winner. I mean, they are the second winningest organization in the last 5 years. The Kansas City Chiefs are not the biggest team, by the way. They've won 3 Super Bowls recently. They just drafted a really small player who now suddenly you tell me how great that guy is and the Bills should have drafted him. Okay. Anyway, 803-0550. I'm concerned about the wide receiver spot. Because Curtis Samuel is a very, very important player to this team. Safety is at least, I think, trending up with Cole Bishop and Mike Edwards, which gives me some solace here, right? Wide receiver, if you're without Curtis Samuel, I don't know what the group looks like. Because I think he is so important to everything that Joe Brady wants to do. And if he's going to be out and possibly maybe miss week one, which we don't know, I think that really throws off what your, you know, what your vision is for the group and how you want to operate, because he's asked to do so much. Quentin Morris is a significant loss for this team because of the roster numbers and how they want to shape the team and all the things he does. Because now if Zach Davidson makes it, which is fine, Zach Davidson has a really nice offseason and training camp. But if you want to put him on the team, that's fine. But he's just not going to be able to do as much as Quentin Morris. And actually, he can help in the passing game a little bit. But I'm more concerned about wide receiver than I am safety at this point after everything that's happened. Still injuries at linebacker, but I love what Joe Andreessen showed, and I think Dorian Williams actually played pretty well on Saturday. Not as concerned about there. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. John Scott, WGRZ TV, Channel 2 Sports Director, is going to join me. If you want to chime in, 803-0550 as well here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You know, initially the plan was to play the ones this week because of the injuries and the lack of availability. We're going to take the ones out, play the other guys, take a good look at them. It should be a good opportunity for them to put their best foot forward and for us to have a strong evaluation of that part of the roster.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott, that's from yesterday's Zoom call with the media. My buddy John Scott, part of that as well. He's on the line right now, the Western Hotline, WGRZ-TV2 sports director. Sorry, I was going to say chief meteorologist. No, that's Patrick Hammer. You're not doing the weather these days. You're doing the sports, right?
Correct.
All right.
I'll stick with what at least I believe I know best. There's probably people on Twitter that would say otherwise.
I mean, yeah, listen, I don't know if you heard the call I just had. Like, same thing. I just had a guy call. His name was Chuck. And Chuck was telling me how the Bills are just way too small everywhere and they're not a tough team and they need these bigger guys. And I had someone on Twitter say, I can't believe you got to hang up on this guy. And I said, listen, if I hang up on him, I'm called a jerk. If I don't hang up on him, I say, why didn't you hang up on him? It's always a double-edged sword, right, when it comes to social media. You don't really know how to treat it. But his overall point was about the injuries, and this is dovetailing from my talk a little bit earlier where I said, John, I don't know. I don't go to the training staff, right, and some issue there. This is football. This is what happens. And unfortunately, right now, the Bills are just running into a whole bunch of guys that are getting hurt playing football.
I'm really disappointed in you. How dare you subject listeners to logic and reason? Come on. What is wrong with you? Yes, that is – this is the way of the world in the National Football League. Deion Dawkins, well, certainly not a mathematician, says it's 100 or 110% injury rate in the National Football League. We get the point. Everyone gets hurt. I mean, it may not eventually get to the point for everyone where they miss significant amount of time, but it's a barbaric sport where guys are flying around and athletes have never been better at playing this game, which the speed of everything, the strength, everything, the power, everything is amplified unlike this game has ever seen before, and that's why these things happen. You cannot prevent someone rolling up on Matt Milano. You cannot prevent someone rolling up on Terrell Bernard or Matt or Von Miller a couple of years ago, or even Josh Allen throwing from the pocket and getting hits in the arm. That's just what happens when guys are flying around at such an incredible speed. It's unfortunate, certainly, and it all amazingly compounds at once for the Bills right now, and that's what amplifies this and drives people to, as I heard you say earlier, you want to find answers to all of these questions. Why is this happening? Sometimes the answer is simple. It's just because that's what happens, and it happens to everyone across the league.
Yeah, players will always tell you there's a 100% injury rate, meaning that every player gets hurt in some capacity. It's a tough game. It's for tough people. There's no doubt about that. I've heard other people say that, and you know, I know that's a phrase you've heard coaches say, but unfortunately, you know, injuries are a part of the game, and this year it just seems like the Bills are having more of them than usual. Now, that said, we see the list. I said earlier, my biggest concern right now is wide receiver until I know what the situation is with Curtis Samuel. But you certainly have injuries at linebacker. You have injuries at safety. Where's your biggest concern right now? Even backup quarterback. Where's your biggest concern right now, given all the injuries?
I'd say safety, because communication, while it's not as easily tangible to see and understand from a you're in the seats perspective, I think we're going to see, and we got a little taste of it a couple years ago, that the nuances that Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde were able to provide with their communication being so good individually, so good as a tandem, and then able to distribute that knowledge and their greatness to the rest of the defense, especially the secondary, I think maybe we're going to really understand how important that was. Yeah, Taylor Rapp was here last year, and yes, he's been healthy, but it you need to communicate with more than one person. And to me, DeMar Hamlin now going down, he's been the one standing next to him, and now Cole Bishop, Mike Edwards, Sean McDermott continues to emphasize, okay, they may be getting out there, but they're new guys. Do they even know what we're doing? And in training camp, Rasul Douglas was amazingly candid when he said, hey, there's some points, I'll be honest, as a corner. I don't really know what's going on, so I rely on the safeties to kind of guide me pre-snap. And if those safeties either haven't been in the system long in the instances of Mike Edwards and Cole Bishop, or they don't have the good communication between themselves and Taylor Rapp, I think that could really have some ramifications throughout the rest of the defense, especially in the secondary. Yes, Terrell Bernard in the middle is a great communicator and someone who is the quarterback of that side of the ball, but he's now also going to have to work with someone that he has limited experience with to the side of him. So I think the safety position, because I'll be honest with you, at wide receiver, I kind of look at them all as jumbled together. It doesn't mean that some can't separate from the others, but I didn't prior to the injuries, and I still don't have any great expectations that anyone's going to elevate into this one or two. So to me, if you have to throw someone in for Curtis Samuel or throw someone in for Marquez Valdes-Scantling, yeah, I think you could definitely surmise, you know, maybe there will be a drop, but I don't think the gap is going to be something where it's going to be incredibly notable for how I feel this offense is going to run.
All right, that said, what have you seen from the wide receiver group? Let's go to Keon Coleman, what you've seen from him last week. A lot made of that play in the end zone, obviously. He didn't come up with that. That's three passes to the end zone over the first two games. Has not, you know, come up with, for different reasons, him, and also the bottom end now of the depth chart, I guess I'll call it that, and, you know, where you see this shaking out with MVS's injury.
Keon Coleman's inconsistent, and there are elements to his game that he needs to improve. We knew that, right? When he was drafted, that's why he fell to the second round. That's why there was a handful plus of other wide receivers drafted before him. We knew what we're kind of seeing play out here in preseason of what Keon Coleman was good at, what Keon Coleman still needs to get better at. My expectations for him were marginal, and which is fine for a first-year wide receiver. They're just obviously maybe not good enough for some people, because they're looking for a one-for-one. They have to replace Stephon Diggs, or they have to replace Gabe Davis, and the list goes on. No one from the wide receiver group in totality has stood out to me, which, again, my expectations were I didn't really think anyone would. I think they're all just a bunch of different pieces that it's going to be more so on Joe Brady, and then in extension, Josh Allen, to just kind of make it work. And so if you lose Curtis Samuel, that's the one I think of note, because I think he actually was going to be integral into what they wanted to do. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, to me, has been underwhelming, and I didn't think that he was going to move the needle a whole lot when they signed him, and the injury now just compounds that to saying, well, I don't think because of just the body count they could move on from him, but to me, if Tyrell Shavers has to get elevated for the MVS snaps, I'm not too concerned about it, and I think that position is just so deep in general. They can make it work if they need to, and maybe just go through the tight ends more, which could be what they want to do anyways.
Where do you – yeah, you talk about Tyrell Shavers. Where do you see the tight end position with Zach Davidson now and his emergence and, you know, Quentin Morris and his injury? Even if Quentin Morris stays healthy, do you think Zach Davidson has a shot to beat him out, or is it got to be maybe due to injury only?
So I originally thought – six wide receivers was definitely what they were going to do based upon, again, this collective idea at the position. But as camp has gone on, kind of taking into account what I have or have not seen from the wide receivers and what I have and have more of what I have seen from the tight ends, I started shifting, and I think I'm at, even with the injuries, four tight ends and five wide receivers, which would put Zach Davidson and Quentin Morris in there should Morris.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Be healthy enough, because you saw it in the Pittsburgh game before he got hurt. Quentin Morris is good. And he's well-rounded, and they love the idea of bringing guys into their system, developing them. And Zach Davidson just seems to be the next in line with that. But I'm not sure he has a well-rounded enough game to justify, hey, we're going to keep Davidson over Morris. So as I currently sit, and we have to wait and see the extent of the Morris injury, I would go with four tight ends and five wide receivers, putting Davidson and Morris on the roster.
Interesting. And I'm with you on a lot of that. I would have had Davidson, you know, passing Morris until the last couple of weeks when you really get a full picture of what they feel about Morris. And we all knew what, you know, they thought about him. And now you see it even more so because Davidson's not doing all those kinds of things. John Scott here on the Western Hotline. All right, John, let's give the people what they want. Joe Andreessen, what you thought about his game. And this is becoming a more than a local cool story now, right? I mean, I said yesterday and I tweeted, I don't care if the guy's from Wyoming. I mean, we're talking about him legitimately maybe making the roster at this point.
100%, and I said it at the end of our newscast, which because of the DNC wasn't until 1 a.m. So most people probably didn't hear it because I almost fell asleep in studio myself. But this is beyond. This is not just this is really cool. The guy from Lancaster who went to UP is making some plays in preseason games. No, he legit, I agree with you. This is a story because of the player, not because of where the player is from. It's also now elevated into a legit reality for him to make the team because of the injuries. Baylen Specter just can't stay healthy. And I'm not saying they're going to move on from him, but Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, hammer the table this time of year on availability is the best thing and best case for guys to make the team. He's also, not only is he available in terms of Joe Andreessen, but he's making the most of his opportunities. Another thing that Sean McDermott loves to point out to showcase to the rest of this team, hey, when you get your shot, you must be prepared and you must perform and you will get rewarded for that. They're not just going to hand him a roster spot because it's a cool story, but I think he showed some things that as a depth linebacker on this team, he's definitely building a case strongly that, hey, I should get in here maybe more than some of these veterans who have been in and out of the lineup with injuries and things like that. I think he has a legit case because I heard you say this yesterday, and it's true. On top of this, the world knows now about Joe Andreessen. The tape is out there. He's yep. done enough good things that smart football people across the league are taking note of. And I don't think they could get him on their practice squad. I think it would definitely be something of, all right, do we want him to be our fifth or sixth linebacker, especially considering the injuries that are piling up, or do we want to lose him? And I think at this point, barring something unforeseen, I think Joe Andreessen has a really good shot to make this team.
You know, it's interesting to me, John. Someone pointed this out. I didn't know this till someone pointed it out, and I looked it up, and it's true. Andreessen actually went to Chiefs rookie tryout camp as well. You know, I mean, like, it's not like the Bills just gave this guy an invite because he's Joe Andreessen from Lancaster and UB. Like, he was a guy that performed pretty high at a high level in college in his two stops at Bryant and at UB. And then teams didn't draft him, but they said, hey, you know, we'll give you he didn't sign as a UDFA, but come, we'll see what you have. So it's not like he was already an unknown before last Saturday. The Chiefs also brought him in. And let's just say you release him at the end of camp. That's a team, for example, may say, look, we had him in. We thought enough about him. We just saw him on film. We're going to claim him and put him on our 53.
Absolutely. And there are certainly other rosters around the league that have the flexibility and room to take a flyer on a guy who flashed in the preseason who was mm-hmm. young and cheap. And I think the Bills, especially considering where they are with the Milano out indefinitely, unknown about Baylen Specter, when he'll come back, Nicholas Morrow's starting to come back, but you haven't really seen much of him, and you saw there's a reason. And again, Sean McDermott, Bobby Babich, and this team is not starting Joe Andreessen in the second preseason game with the rest of the starters because they think it's a cool story. They clearly have seen enough from that kid who, as Sean pointed out, was a rookie camp invite to have understanding of the defense well enough to tell other guys like Greg Rousseau and Dorian Williams, and all of these other starters, where to go. And I think that, to me, is the most important thing that both Babich and McDermott really harp on with young players, is the importance of understanding the playbook and the challenge of that. And for them to trust him in that setting this early, I think that says a lot about where they believe he is and what they believe he can do it as a depth piece. Again, let's not get crazy.
Right.
The next diamond in the rough here that's going to make up for Matt Milano being out. No, I think it's more of a, hey, let's temper expectations. He won't think, if thrown into the deep end, God forbid, come regular season time.
I will say after the break, because I want to get to one more thing with you, I'm going to point out something about Joe Andreessen's Raw Athletics score coming out last year. I want to point that out. But first of all, to wrap up with you, Guardians-Yanks tonight, buddy. All right, starting a series. All right, big series for both clubs. Now, the Guardians have a 2.5-game lead in the AL Central. The Yanks have a half-game lead over the Orioles in the AL East. They are only separated, the Guardians and Yankees, by a half game. 73-52 for the Yanks, 72-52 for the Guardians. I know there's a lot of fans of both teams here in Western New York. Tell us a little bit about your Guardians, and I know you don't get a chance to watch them all the time, unfortunately, because of the way it's set up here, but what are you expecting from the Guardians in this series? What have you seen?
They've been struggling. They've been struggling of late. It's lose 5-6 in a row, win 3 in a row, lose 3-4 in a row. They're leaking oil. And this was my concern with their lack of substantial activity at the trade deadline. There are issues with the roster. They have a great bullpen, but I firmly believe you can't ride a bullpen hard. Like, if you get to them, great. But maybe in a playoff series, my buddy swears that they could do this because of the structure of the schedule and off days. But you got to get there. Emmanuel Clase, I mean, holy smokes. That dude legit. It's crazy to think about a closer in the Cy Young competition, but he's having one of the all-time great seasons for a relief pitcher. He's almost unhittable, but you got to get to him. The starting rotation, all the way back to Shane Bieber, losing him for the entire season. I mean, they're trying to find some guys to plug in there. If they can get 5 or 6 out of them, great. But that's not necessarily been the easiest task of late. And then offensively, they're better this year than they've been in years past. Jose Ramirez is incredible. He's not in the Aaron Judge realm of the MVP conversation, but I definitely think he once again will be a top 5 guy in there. They're a fun team. They do things differently. Steven Kwan is a great hitter, but they're leaking oil. So that's where I think, while we're only mid-August, the division is tight enough. You want to still continue to compete with the Yankees and in Baltimore to try to be the top team in the AL overall. But I think it's a big series. Unfortunately, because these are the few games I ever get to watch here, like on YES, every time I turn on a Yankees-Guardians game, the Yankees are just smoking them. So my expectations are low, but I'm glad I get to see them for once. And, you know, just let's have some good ball to keep me encouraged enough that when they inevitably meet in October and you and Sal Majorana and all you ding-dongs, Matt Parrino will say, go Yankees, that me and Josh Reed and others can at least have some footing to say, not so fast, my friend.
Matthew Boyd against Louis Hill tonight. Enjoy it, but I'll see you down here in a little while for practice. Thanks, John.
All right, thanks.
All right, you got it. John Scott right there on the West Her Hotline. All right, I'm going to take a timeout. Vince, stay with me. As soon as I come back, I'm going to get you your call, I promise, all right? We'll get to Vince. And I got to point something out to everybody, and I'm going to tweet about it too here in the break. Joe Andreessen from something back in April when he was considered a prospect coming out in this year's draft where he wasn't drafted, all right? We'll do that when we come back in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, let's get to Vince in North Buffalo. Hi, Vince. Go ahead. You're on WGR.
Hey, thanks, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. My concern is at quarterback, and I understand we signed a quarterback, Brown, from the Raiders. But I really think we should bring four QBs into camp. I really do. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the injury problems we've experienced this year are not that unusual. It happened to the 49ers a couple years ago. And you may have to go to your fourth string. And secondly, if you bring four in, you've got four who are familiar with your system rather than bringing in a guy late in camp who's not really familiar with your offensive plays and system. So I think that, you know, it's really, I think, a legitimate concern to have four quarterbacks in camp. Plus, it allows the other quarterbacks not to be worn out in practice reps. And I think
because I got to go here, Vincent. You bring a great point. Actually, someone tweeted me about this. I did actually, it's funny you call. I did the data on this. I looked it up this morning. Somebody said they should have five. No team has five quarterbacks. No team has brought five quarterbacks to camp. But four, you have about 10 teams that do have four quarterbacks in camp. Most do not. You have about 20-something teams that don't have four quarterbacks. They have three. And some of those four are because there's an injury. Here's the issue. You make good points. I'm not pushing back. Like there's an argument to be made for what you're saying, Vince. Here's the issue, though. You have very limited practice time these days, according to the CBA. When are those quarterbacks playing? When are they practicing? When are they getting reps with the second and third teams? Because, like, it's Josh Allen, it's Mitch Trubisky, even Shane Buechele doesn't have much time to practice. So, what you know what I mean? Like, yes, you have your arms there, and he can be put in, but you don't really have time to even have those guys get the reps they need, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. I agree. There are drawbacks to that formula. But, I mean, years ago, we did – many years ago, you know, I'm talking 30, 40 years ago, we did bring four quarterbacks into camp.
But that's right. But that's because the rules were way different for training camp.
That's true. You're absolutely right on that. I just brought it up because of the current crisis at
– Yep.
At backup.
I get it. Listen, you're not wrong in like how you view it, and your process is right. I agree with you. From you'd like to have more arms, and there's a lot of good points you make. 10 teams have done it this year. I looked it up, 9 or 10. I think the Bills are the 10th, actually, now that they signed Anthony Brown. It's just really hard. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, one of those guys practicing, it's like, are you going to have a quarterback just kind of not practice all day? Then therefore, now you don't have an extra defensive end you might want to get a look at. It's just, it's a numbers game, right? But it's a good point, Vince. And I think this is just the best way to kind of do it. Now, if you had a very young quarterback, you might want the four to secure yourself. You have Josh Allen and Mitch Trubisky. I don't think you need a fourth. You know what I mean? You get three guys and you know you roll. So thanks, Vince. I appreciate it. So it's a good point. All right, real quick. Joe Andreessen. Back in April, Kent Lee Platt. What does he write for? Kent. Math junkie, football nut, PFN 365, mock draft simulator. He does all the RAS stuff, relative athletic score. Get this. I just tweeted this out. Check it out. Back in April, I found this. He wrote, Joe Andreessen is a linebacker prospect in the 2024 draft class. He scored a 9.36 RAS out of a possible 10. You may say, okay, what does that mean to me? How about this? This is incredible. Joe Andreessen ranked 185 out of 2,889 linebackers in his relative athletic score going back to 1987. Folks, that's the top 6% of athleticism. It's wild, right? I don't even know. At this point, I'm wondering why the guy didn't get drafted. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Mike Shope's going to join me. I'm usually on his show. He's going to join this show. We're going to talk fantasy football, get you prepped for some drafts coming up this weekend.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio here with you. I'm inside the Bills radio booth at Highmark Stadium, headed over to the media room. Later this hour at 12 p.m., we will hear from Joe Brady. You'll find that on demand at WGR550.com. I'm sure One Bills Live will have it as well. And, of course, then we're going to have practice at 12:30 and give you an update a little bit later. Stay with us, WGR550.com, at Sal Sports on social. All right, a little bit of a reversal here. Okay, now, normally, I go on Mike Shope and the Bulldog every afternoon. I'll be on today talking about the Bills. This is what we do, right? Well, I think for the first time ever here on the Extra Point Show, Mike Shope is joining me as a guest, and we're going to talk some fantasy football. What's going on, buddy? Thanks for doing this today.
You're welcome. Happy to. Yes, very weird being on the phone talking to you as opposed to in the booth.
It is a little different. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, it is fantasy football time of year, and I try to get like at least maybe one or two guests on a week right now this time of year, kind of help people out with their drafts. And I thought, man, like who's the guy? Who would I know that really gets into fantasy? And like you were the first name to come to mind, so I reached out. What are you doing in the media fantasy football space these days?
Well, I have a podcast like you outside of our regular show called The Deep End with Adam Krautwurst, who's been on your show and mine several times. Been on the station a lot. He's out of Rochester, so we're doing industry drafts, you know, analysts, content creators, other people who play for big money, called the Deep End Invitational. That's four different drafts. We'll have another one on Thursday. And then pretty much anything else I can get my hands on. So, I love doing that show. I mean, Bulldog's not really that into it, so it doesn't, you know, matter that much to him. I have this on the side that sort of allows for me to get my fix.
Do you have a preference on like format these days? Because you play all of them, as far as I know. I know Dynasty and Best Ball. We were in the Best Ball League together, the February Fix. You have a straight up, you know, everybody goes back in the pool. What do you prefer these days?
Well, the heaviest action really these days, this year, last couple of years, has been at Underdog, which okay. is all kinds of different best ball tournaments. And that's a different, there's a different strategy involved in a tournament where you're trying to beat literally hundreds of thousands of teams in the end than when you're playing against 11 guys. So mm-hmm. I enjoy that, but those are really lottery ticket sort of, you know, opportunities or challenges, I guess. Your odds are not great. I like just a straight up 12-man, 12-person league. You know, I like to play for a little bit of money. That doesn't have to be one particular format. I find, you know, super flex is very popular these days where you start two quarterbacks, but it's not, I still haven't gotten super comfortable with that or I don't really love it so much. Well, I'll do it, of course, but at the same time, a one quarterback league can seem to undervalue the position. So I think in fantasy, we still haven't really found a perfect middle ground there.
For the purposes of this conversation, I will ask you a little bit about Dynasty later, but for the purposes of this, let's just go with a straight up, everybody's in the pool.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter. And Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Type of league, you know, snake draft, kind of your basic scoring format, PPR. Let's do it this way. Is there a consensus number one pick right now? Is there a consensus top three? How is that trending in most leagues?
It has been very stagnant all summer. Christian McCaffrey is your 101, maybe 4 out of 5 drafts. And if it's not him, it's usually CD Lamb. Once in a while, you'll see somebody, like in these tournaments where you're just trying to be different, take more chances and, you know, be unique at the top, where you might see Tyreek Hill. Basically, Sal, this year we have like a top 8 where it's McCaffrey, Lamb, Tyreek, and then you have 5 guys that pretty much can go in any order. Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Bijan Robinson, Breece Hall. Where you might see some fluctuation there is you know, whether it's PPR or just kind of what, whether you have tight end premium, different things can push the running backs up to toward like three or four. But in those underdog tournaments I'm telling you about, that's pretty much the order almost every time. And if you're stuck on the end, which this year I think is worse, some years it's better, some years it doesn't really matter, but you're kind of, you're picking from receivers. AJ Brown maybe goes nine. You're picking from receivers that are a little bit less safe of a bet.
Yeah, that was me. So we had a draft the other night, and I had the 11th overall pick, and that's exactly what happened to me. And it was basically, I was, there's AJ Brown or Garrett Wilson. AJ Brown went, so I took Garrett Wilson. It wasn't the most envious spot, and it wasn't the greatest pick for me, but that's really where I was at that point, because to your point, that's kind of the pool you're choosing from at the end.
That's right. I like Wilson a lot. I think, you know, that's fine, but it's just so much the same draft after draft. Then you have Puka, and you have Harrison, sometimes London. You start to see the running backs come in right after that turn, whether it's Jahmyr Gibbs, Jonathan Taylor, Saquon Barkley. And now you're at a point where it just kind of depends on how you want to build it, whether you want to start with two receivers or one and one or anything like that. Because once you get into rounds two and three, it's not great this year for the receivers. I mean, they're fine players, like a Waddle or a Olave, guys like that. But, you know, every year is different. And this is one where rounds two and three are just not that exciting.
So for many years, it was, don't draft a quarterback early, you can get one, all these guys. And then all of a sudden, Josh Allen's the number one pick, and here comes Jalen Hurts, and these guys that are, you know, Cam Newton or whatever it was, they became a big deal to take early on in drafts. Now we're seeing it go the other way, it feels like to me, where in my league, Josh Allen didn't even go to the third round, and there's some Bills fans in this league. It's very interesting to me the way the quarterbacks have been treated.
Yeah, that's another thing that's been a little bit different, more toward back the other direction this year, is because you have so many candidates that could end up having elite seasons. With the way the league has allowed, sort of cultivated these running quarterbacks like Allen and like Anthony Richardson, and now this year Jaden Daniels, players that legitimately could all give you top five seasons. Of course, Allen has done that over and over. Lamar Jackson, you know, we've had a few of these guys already. But when you have players like Daniels, it is on spec. I mean, he is a rookie. And Richardson, who's almost the same thing for as much of last season that he missed. Mm-hmm. It allows for you as a drafter to be more patient at quarterback. Then you have guys in the middle like Tua or even Justin Herbert, who nobody seems to want anymore because of how the Chargers situation has changed, the weapons that have left, that could still end up paying off for you. It's just you have more options than maybe last year or the year before to get quarterback right, you know, quote right, by waiting.
Mike Shope on the Western Hotline. I'm glad you mentioned Richardson. I want to talk about him. He is really getting a lot of love in fantasy circles. I understand. He got all the tools. And I'm very much benefited by this because in this league, we get to keep one player we drafted later. And I did draft Richardson later. So I get him for free, essentially, which is a great start to my team. But I am wondering what his ceiling is for you. Is he getting too much love at this point? I heard Jeremy say, and I haven't seen this, I heard Jeremy say today that he's being regarded as QB3 in a lot of fantasy analysis.
Yeah, I usually see him at around five. Allen, Hurts, Mahomes, Jackson. And, you know, part of that, too, is those players are all easier to stack with. With Buffalo, I mean, it's not early that you're drafting their receivers, but you have many of them to choose from kind of in the middle. Hurts has A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Jackson and Andrews, Mahomes and Kelsey. Like, it's just kind of obvious. Whereas, yes, Pittman, but no one seems to really want to buy into that fully. The kind of player Richardson is, it's a little bit of a riskier bet. And of course, Richardson is riskier overall. We had Cody Carpentier, fantasy analyst, on our show on Friday, and he's one of the biggest Richardson bulls that I know. And I asked him on the air how he feels about Richardson this year. And he said, I'd be lying if I didn't admit to be a little bit nervous just because of how he got hurt, what, three different times in four games last year and left games. So he's going to have to learn how to protect his body a little bit. If he does, I mean, it's to the moon because he's somebody that's just so dominant as a runner. Really, you know, Allen has been so amazing at that. guys like Richardson and Daniels, I think, might even take that up a level from even maybe Lamar Jackson, who's got, you know, it's a different style. So I'm excited about Richardson. I draft a lot of him, but, you know, there's risk. There's risk with anybody, and to win big, you have to be willing to take that risk.
All right, so this year in this rule, later in the draft, what I did was I went with Caleb Williams because now I get to stack him for next year. But is there a chance maybe, do you think that Caleb Williams could actually wind up being a good fantasy play this year?
Absolutely. I mean, everybody has kind of said it. The best situation for any first overall pick to walk into is what he's got with the Bears. So, yeah. And he's got some rushing upside, not the same on the same level as Daniels. But, sure, very excited about the Bears. And I think he is somebody that you could leave a draft having planned, you know, plans to have be your starter. I would want to pick somebody else in that draft. I mean, not always do I want to pick a second quarterback. If I pick Allen, I don't feel like I really need one, you know, at least as the season starts. But if I pick Williams, I probably want like a Stafford or somebody, just sort of an upside guy and then a safer guy, whoever that might be, Cousins, somebody like that, Rodgers.
Mike, who are you personally a little bit higher on maybe than a lot of the fantasy community that you're around, and who are you maybe a little bit lower on than a lot of the fantasy community?
Well, this has just sort of been a continuing story all summer, but it was – you know, a month ago, my answer would have been Rashee Rice because I think people sort of assume too much when it comes to the logistics, you know, a possible suspension, these kinds of things. We've had examples over the years where, like, Alvin Kamara was one of these. We kind of all thought he would get suspended, but then it didn't happen until the next year. So the way Rice came on for Kansas City, he was available in, like, round six, round seven, for a lot of the summer because people thought he just wasn't going to play the whole year. It's not a great story when it comes to Rice. Now the season's in 3 weeks and he is not yet suspended. We don't really hear anything along those lines. And why I say it's a different answer than a month ago, because now I think everybody's sort of playing it more like they expect him to play. So he was somebody I feel lucky that I drafted a lot of back, you know, in the spring. Somebody that I'm not as excited about might be Mike Evans. I mean, you lose this way sometimes, Sal, but I just always sort of lean toward the younger options. Evans goes right around where Malik Nabers goes in drafts, or even Devontae Smith, and I'd much rather have those other players because I just don't think the odds are great. It happens. It happened with Derrick Henry, who's still going, and it's happened with Evans. I don't think, you know, I'd rather just break ties on the younger options, so I don't really get much Evans.
What Buffalo Bills after Josh Allen? Like, what's kind of the order? Is it Cook next? Because that's what happened in our draft. And then Kincaid. And then I have to go down to see who the next one might have even been. After that might have been Keon Coleman, actually, to be honest with you. But where are the Bills generally falling in these drafts for you?
It seems like maybe Kincaid. This varies, too, by format, because some leagues are tight end premium where you get a point and a half per catch for a tight end. But there are a lot of Kincaid fans in fantasy, so he might be more like a fourth-round pick and then Cook in five. I mean, if Cook ever finds the end zone, he is great value, assuming he is the same sort of workload as last year. But people just don't expect touchdowns from James Cook. He could even come through the air. He had those drops last year. So, you know, he's a fifth-round pick most of the time. Coleman, especially with the Samuel injury. Coleman would be the wide receiver that would go first of all of them. It's not a big difference. It's like round seven, maybe somewhere like that. And really, again, he's a guy that you're just hoping for that upside that, you know, he might be capable of. Whereas Samuel or even Shakir, you kind of know what you're getting. Shakir is less like that than Samuel. And Coleman is also somebody whose value will really be determined by touchdowns. As you know, the Bills, with Diggs and Davis leaving, that's more than half of their touchdown receptions last season. Somebody needs to fill that void. If you see Josh Allen throwing for 35 touchdowns, some number like that again, you know, who's catching those passes? Coleman and Kincaid, you know, big bodies would seem like maybe obvious guesses to sort of fill that void.
Not suggesting Ray Davis would be among the top guys, but he is a rookie. And, of course, you know, you look at dynasty and rookies and running backs. What about dynasty? What about running back rookies? Some guys that you might like a little bit here that you might want to attach yourself to because you feel that they could be of value.
Yeah, Davis is definitely one of them. Whether it's dynasty or any of these tournaments, anything, I think the best way to draft is to load up on as many of those guys as you can. Even if they were picked by the NFL on day three, like Davis was, we've seen the league push down the value of running backs coming into the league, but still give those players opportunities, and Davis should have one here. Braylon Allen with the Jets is certainly one of these players behind Breece Hall. Blake Corum with the Rams is another one. You know, they're probably not going to see a lot of work, but they're one injury away. And, you know, Marshawn Lloyd, who's had a more disappointing camp than some of the others, he's with Green Bay, maybe he, different than Corum or Braylon Allen, somebody who could play a role as a rookie. So I like to get as many of those guys as I can. Get my receivers early, and then second half of the draft, just throw darts at some of these rookie running backs. I mean, I think Davis is pretty promising.
I'm in the one guillotine league with Jeremy. I've never been in a vampire league. What about you? You try all these different formats? Is there ones you just stay away from? I asked you what you like the best. Is there ones that you're not really into, you don't really want to do?
No, I don't have much experience with those as it happens, but I think right. That kind of stuff is really great. I mean, the vampire one is what? Where one person doesn't draft at all, and then they just pick their team off waivers, and if they beat you, they take someone from your team.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Those are fun ideas. The most important thing is just to really know how it works, you know, whether it's some obvious tweak like those are that are make them different than standard leagues, or even just, are we starting three receivers or two? Is it full point? Leagues now more than ever give points for first downs. You know, all that kind of, those kind of details make, they change the board. They change the values. And, I mean, now some of the technology is so readily available and sophisticated that you could pretty easily find your way to an app that will kind of bake in those differences. It's just important to really know all of them, because if you don't, someone in your league does, and whether it's a waiver rule or anything like that, you can get burned.
You still drafting kickers? I've seen a lot of leagues do away with kickers. We haven't done that yet.
I am pro kicker in fantasy.
Okay.
And it's simply this. The complaint about it is how random it is. Well, my retort is all this stuff is pretty random. It's all, you know, kind of made up. So it's, to me, it doesn't make sense really logically that somebody will complain just, oh, somebody had 14 points from their kicker and they beat me by five, or I had nothing. You know, the randomness of that. Touchdowns are random like that. You know, injuries are random like that. It's all kind of random. So I don't think you need to do away with kickers, but sure, there are a lot of people who don't like it. I don't mind. I like having kickers. I think it's fine.
All right. Guardians, Yankees tonight. Big series. Two of the top teams in all of baseball. I don't think anybody's playing 600 baseball in either league right now, actually.
Well, I'm sure you'll give us an update later or tomorrow on this game. baseball, man, it's just so... Speaking of randomness, right? Just get to the postseason and hope.
Yes.
And so I think that takes a lot away from the regular season versus what we grew up with, but that's sort of how it goes, right? But times are always
changing.
You got it.
And, Mike, thanks. Any questions for me?
Who is pitching in this game?
It is Louis Heal against, you know what, they got Matthew Boyd. And I think he's kind of a newer guy. I'm looking, he's 0-0. And he only has 6 strikeouts. I think he's only had one game, like one appearance maybe. I have to look at his actual overall numbers. But Louis Heal for the Yankees tonight.
Back from injury, maybe. So
there you go.
All right, well,
that's
good luck to your Yankees, I guess.
All right, thanks, Mike. I appreciate you doing this today. I appreciate it a lot.
You're welcome. I'll talk to you at 5.
Okay, for sure. I'm going to be on with Mike Shope and Chris Bulldog Parker at 5 p.m. today, and we'll talk about the Bills and practice and what happened here at Highmark Stadium, or should say One Bills Drive, outside on the practice field. Fantasy football. Yeah, I mean, like, this is the time of year, right? I know. Sometimes we talk fantasy here, whoever it is, whether it's Mike and or Jeremy and Joe or me. Oh, fantasy football. You guys, look, it's such a big industry. It's such a big business. I'm willing to bet that most people listening to this in some capacity, listening right now, play fantasy football in some way, shape, or form. Josh, you play fantasy, right? You haven't your drafts yet?
I have not yet. I have my first one I know is September 1st, but there's like three other leagues I'm in and they haven't set the draft date. So I'm like, guys, what are we doing? We got to figure it out. Let's go.
Well, you better figure that out soon, man.
Right. I know. I'm not the commissioner, though. I'm just a humble peasant among the rest of the team. So
well, maybe you need a new commissioner then.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That'll have to be a conversation, especially if we like.
I mean, like, you know, got to help out. It is a little different. Like back in the day, you had to be together and everybody brings their books and you sit in one room and that's still cool. Like it's good to get together. But now you can just do everything remote, everything on an app, everything on a computer. Right. I mean, that's now doesn't matter where you are in the country. I mean, I remember the one year we did the Guillotine League and it was the Bills were opening in L.A. and Jeremy set the draft for like the night before the season started. So I'm literally in L.A., ready for the Bills game the next night on the app, just drafting for the Guillotine League. So you can do it anywhere and any way you can. All right, we'll take a timeout here. When we come back, Josh going to take you along the rest of the way, and I believe he's going to replay Sean McDermott from yesterday because I got to get over to the Bills media room. We got Joe Brady coming up at noon today. So we'll do that for you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Thanks a lot to Mike Schoep. Thanks a lot to John Scott. We'll take a timeout here from Sean McDermott from yesterday, and he will explain again, and so you can all hear exactly what he says about all the injuries the Bills are dealing with.
Enough to...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.